Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture is found in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, and you can find it in your bulletin. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth.
What a fantastic Sabbath. Well, hello, Pastor Scott. I didn't see you here earlier this morning. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. And Hunter and Aaron, you just graduated. Praise the Lord. Good job. Are you proud of Aaron? Yeah. Me too. But what an especially blessed day it is that we have gotten to witness via video and live and in person two young people giving their lives to Jesus, publicly acknowledging before the world, before the universe, that they belong to Him and that He belongs to them. I'm so excited about that. And it is the custom in the Church of God, not just here at English Oaks, but since the early days of Christianity, after Jesus died and rose and the Holy Spirit was poured out on His disciples, to have a special time of prayer for people who have just given their lives to Jesus, to ask specifically for God's Spirit to be upon them to carry out the calling that He has on their lives. So I'd like to invite Megan and Alex to come up, please. And we would like to pray over you. I'd ask the pastoral team, including Pastor Scott, would it be an imposition to ask you to come and join in this prayer too? God has promised not just to call you to do great things for Him, but He has promised to give you superhuman, supernatural power to do what He has called you to do. He has promised to give you the gifts that you need, some of which may seem explainable by human powers and others that are just going to be beyond what could ever be explained. He's been doing that ever since Jesus was here. And so we would like to gather around you, if you would kneel, and we will kneel around you, and we will specifically ask for God's Holy Spirit to be poured into your life for the calling that He has on you. Pastor Roy, would you start?
Father, what an example of the power that you have in people's lives to lead them down gently, lovingly to a place where they say, I'm in, I'm all in, I'm yours, God, completely and fully. And these two young people have done that. And you celebrate, all of heaven celebrates when the lost is found back home in safety. And so, Lord, we just celebrate with you and with this church and with their family. And their hearts are thrilling because of what you are doing. And so we again pray for extra measure of your power and your Spirit to be working, continuing to work in their lives. We have no idea. We can only imagine. We can't even imagine that, what you're going to do as you lead them, direct them, and empower them, gift them to serve your kingdom and advance your government in ways that they can't even imagine. Amen. So bless them, I pray, in a very special way. We're so thankful for them. Amen.
Amen. Father, we come to you right now for Alex and for Megan. We thank you that you have found them and they have found you and they have given their lives to you. Thank you that for any time that they might be worried still that they're not good enough, that they might be worried that they've done something they shouldn't, or someone has said something that makes them feel alienated, that Jesus and the cross and the resurrection are bigger and mightier than all of that. Right. That it's all taken care of. That as they continue forward in their lives, as they confess their sins, you are faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. that you are the power in their lives, the transforming power, not just once, but always. And thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit, Father. You have called us to do things that we can't do. You've called us to speak up in situations where we don't have the strength and we don't know what to say. You have called us to be part of miracles that we totally, completely don't have anything to offer to make that happen. And so, Father, we now ask for your Holy Spirit to be poured out on Megan and on Alex. We claim that by faith, and we thank you that you have done and will do that because you have said that you are anxious to give your Spirit when we ask, and that they will be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think. Thank you.
Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for Alex, for Megan, and for our young people. They truly are such a blessing to us and in the congregation and just to the world, Father. I want to thank you so much for these two individuals in particular because they have committed to you, Father. I know that you have just intricately, uniquely designed them to be who they are, and I know that they can be a blessing to so many people that I myself can't, that Pastor Bob can't, Pastor Scott can't, or Pastor Roy can't. I pray that you will put a hedge of protection about them, Father. I pray that you will pour out your Spirit unto them, Lord, because the devil is going around like a roaring lion, Father, and he sees this day, and it fears and trembles because the power of Jesus Christ is in them.
Yes.
But greater is he who is in us,
yes,
than he who is in the world.
Amen.
And I just want to claim that promise for them, Father, and I want to just pray that you will continue to be with them, that you will continue to guide them on their journeys as Alex goes to Southwestern for his school year, and as Megan continues on in the elementary school and into high school, continue to mold them, shape them, and form them, Lord, to be the man and the woman that you have called them to be, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that you will just continue to bless them and their families, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be in their lives, Father, and for us as a congregation to be in their lives as well, Lord. We love you so much, God. Thank you so much that heaven is all applauding at this moment and just singing, rejoicing, and we rejoice along with heaven and along with them, Father, and their families. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing to be back in my home church today to see Alex and Megan's commitment to you. I've known Alex for most of his life, and I've known Megan for many years. We've studied starting 4 or 5 years ago, baptismal classes and activities together, and you've surrounded them by a church school community and by a church community and their parents and grandparents and all the family of faith that has surrounded them and poured your word into them. And Lord, we just celebrate with your community here the commitment of these two young people that have been raised by this community to know you. I thank you for Pastor Manny, who has come to continue the study and the nurture and the support and involving these kids in the life of the kingdom. And Lord, we just continue to ask you to pour into their lives, to bring people, to nurture, to lead them spiritually, continue to watch over them. Lord, we need each other. We need you individually. I pray that you would bless their devotional times and bless their times as a part of this congregation and all the things that will impact their lives moving forward, Lord. Amen. We lift it up before you, and we ask you to continue to lead them on. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Don't go just yet. I'd like to shake your hands. I'm going to let Pastor Manny give you your baptismal certificates. But I want to ask this congregation, do you believe that God has answered our prayer?
Yes.
Do you believe in this young man and this young woman? Mm-hmm. That's what it takes. I hate to quote a song again, but don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. It's very detectable when we stop believing in people. Keep believing in Alex. Keep believing in Megan. Sorry, Megan. Keep believing in them. Keep believing in what God is doing in them and believe in him. I would like to formally ask for a vote of the church to accept them into fellowship at English Oaks Seventh-day Adventist Church. Is there a motion? Is there a second? All those in favor say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're in. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I'm not going to shake your hand for fairly obvious reasons. You might want to wash your shoulders. Praise the Lord. Well, this isn't a weekend of health and healing for me, but I'm very thankful that that many of our people are able to enjoy the blessings. You can join in this afternoon, by the way. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate having you among us to witness this baptism and the, by proxy, Alex's baptism as well, and to gather together in the name of Jesus because he is here. He is here with us. Would you please join me in a prayer as we ask his Spirit to speak to us through his word? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us. We thank you for the great and mighty things that we have witnessed of your power and your goodness already today. Thank you for the worship that we have experienced. Thank you for the wonderful experience of rejoicing with the angels of heaven at new souls committed in your kingdom. Now we ask for your Holy Spirit to please speak to us through your word. Do the transforming, empowering work that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Who wouldn't welcome an opportunity to travel around the world? Who wouldn't welcome an opportunity to go from place to place that you have read about, that you have dreamed about, that you have thought about, that you've heard the stories of history that have taken place? I myself would welcome that opportunity. I myself would love to see these places. I myself would love to be there and to think, where do I go now? What am I going to see that I've been wanting to see? I can think of, for example, Machu Picchu, or for example, the pyramids, for example, the Alamo, for example, Florence, where there is so much art, for example, the Colosseum in Rome, where so much history took place, to actually be in the places where these things happened. Mount Fuji in Japan, one of the most iconic silhouettes, all of these different places. And for those who have any connection with Portugal or surfing, Nazaré, I think that's how you say it, where the biggest waves in the world happen. To be there, to see it for yourself, to witness the things that people have taken pictures, and the Louvre. All that amazing art under one roof. What a thing to experience that. What an amazing place to be, and I cannot leave out. Livable, lovable, Lodi. I've been there. Let me tell you about it. It's an amazing place. They have farmers markets on Thursdays. Do you know about this? My wife was there. She took pictures, and it was awesome. I've been there myself. All the places to go to actually see for yourself these places where great things have happened, where great wonders are there for you to see. Well, I'm happy to tell you that we as a church family are about to go on a journey to see great places and great things. We are going on a journey in our small group experience and in our Sabbaths from here on through July 27 and actually a bonus week on August 3. I almost said August chapter 3. On August 3, we are going to be going to great scenes of the work of God in people's lives on earth. And as much as I would like to go to some of these places where great moments in history happened, where great achievements of humankind are celebrated, these are the truly momentous moments in history that we are going to visit. These are the truly amazing and transformative scenes that we are going to experience together as we talk on Sabbath mornings, but as I pray even more that you could experience in a small group of believers, bathing in the Word of God, enjoying each other's company, and seeing what God says and does to speak into your life and to transform you and to make you new, to strengthen you for what he has called you to do. We're going to be looking at places like where a choir achieved one of the great military victories of history. You get that, a choir. We're going to see that. We're going to go to a place where a king was rightfully struck down by scandal, but God jumped in and redeemed that horrible situation of his own making. We're going to go and we're going to look at a scene where a band of untrained disciples and followers of Jesus were hit with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the story goes on to say that the whole world was turned upside down by their message, by the power of the Holy Spirit in them. We're going to go and we're going to see a scene where a woman who was looked down upon, who was outcast, who was suffering because of the torments of others upon her, because of her own physical malady, her life was transformed, and she began to give glory to God because of what he had done in her life. We are going to go to the very places where Jesus went. We are going to see the very turning experiences in Jesus' life as he carried out the mission to show the Father and to give his life as our ransom. And we are going to go and we're going to visit a small group of believers, and we're going to see what God did in them that has carried on down to our time with the impact. And what we're going to find out, the common denominator of all these transformative scenes, the common denominator that impacted all of those turning point places, was God's people together in prayer. It's a common denominator. If you look through the history of Israel, if you look through the history of Jesus on earth, if you look through the history of the early church, you see these transformative moments, prayer, prayer, and prayer. Even beyond the Bible, if you look in American history, if you look in English history, other history around the world, where great revivals happened, almost always you can find a record of prayer, a call to prayer that happened, where God's people started to seek him with their whole heart. And then things happened that changed everything, that multiplied impact, that turned people's lives around, and through their lives, turned still others' lives around. All because God's people gathered together in prayer. Now, the thing that is going to be happening along with our sermon series is that we are encouraging you to be involved in a small group. And I know many of you are already in small groups, and that you are planning, others of you are planning to start small groups. What I want to do with a little bit of time that we have this morning is to make this easy for you. I want to show you how easy this is, okay? You ready for this? First of all, you have in your bulletin an insert, and it has a passage just slightly incorrectly identified. It was pointed out to me this morning. It says that it has the passage 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, but it actually is the passage 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. And if you don't have one of these, you can actually turn into it in a Bible, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. That's actually doable. But here is how, if you're not already part of a small group, you can get a small group going. Okay? Are you ready for this? First of all, and this can be actually divided out into roles. First of all, you need an inviter, someone who invites people to small group. And these aren't necessarily in order. So here's what you need. You need an inviter, you need a leader, and you need a host. Oh, and you need the people to be in your small group. So you need an inviter, a leader, and a host. Now, if need be, those can all be the same person, but it doesn't have to be that way. So this morning, I'm going to set you a bad example of delegation, just like I'm setting you a bad example of living in the peak of health. But I will be the inviter, I will be the host, and I will be the leader. So, here is where I'm going to host a small group, right here. I'm going to make my home here a little more inviting by not having the chairs all lined up like this. And we're going to make a nice little living room. Imagine this as your living room, or if you really don't want to clean up, imagine this as your friend's living room. And so this will be the living room. This will be a very small group. I think it'll be a group of five, including me. And so this can happen actually in different orders. So you could decide on the place and then invite people to it. Or you could spontaneously, perhaps even this morning, if you haven't been in a small group, you could spontaneously kind of look at some of your friends and say, we should do this. And then you decide where you're going to do it, right? But in any case, we have a living room set up here. And now I'm going to invite. Only, I'm not going to get on the phone and invite specific people. I'm going to ask, I need four people to be part of my small group. Who would be willing to be part of my small group this morning? I need four people, just four people. Is there yet one more? Is there yet four more? Come on, are our pews that comfortable? All right, Bosco, would you come on down. All right, Margaret, come on down. Missy, come on down. And Allie, thank you. There's my four. Come on up and just pick any seat you like. There's no labels on the seats. And I'll take the last one that's left. All right, have a seat, Bosco. Please make yourself comfortable. Make yourself at home. And so, anyway, the insert that you have is an example of what Pastor Roy emails out the week before that particular subject of the small group. And by the way, the subjects of these small groups are great prayers in the Bible. And so for those different scenes that I brought to your attention, there is a prayer associated with that. And so week by week, we're going to be studying those great prayers. And let me show you how that study goes. I'll give you, we print these out, and you might notice on your insert that it's double-spaced. It's actually 2.5 spaced on this one. That it's double-spaced, and you'll see why pretty soon. So what we do is we gather, we welcome. So welcome. I'm so happy that you came. And now I'm going to make a little bit of a transition here, because even though this is a demonstration, I believe the promise of Jesus that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. So we are actually going to experience. We're not just going to fake our way through this. We're actually going to do this, and I expect God to do things among us. And if you can vicariously participate every step of the way and see what God does in your life through this passage, because that's the expectation that we come here to do a small group experience. We don't come here expecting that we're going to do this and we're going to be able to say, well, that was very interesting. That was very nice. Pardon me, people over here. That was very interesting. That was very nice. We should do that again. We come expecting the Word of God to be living and active, as the Scripture says, and powerful to change our lives. So we come here seeking God to do something in our lives through His Word, not just to pass the time and feel spiritual. We come expecting God to do something in our lives. And so, first of all, we begin with prayer. In your small group at home, among people that you know or are getting to know, you might want to ask what's on people's hearts that they want to pray about. And then you will pray about that so that everyone's heart can have the burdens lifted, so that we can be free to fellowship together and associate together and experience God together. And so anyway, I'm going to ask, do you guys have anything that you want to have us pray about specifically? I put you on the spot, so it's okay if you don't. I'm okay with praying a general prayer. Yes, Missy? Well, she's asking for Father's Day and her birthday to go well. That's Sunday and Monday. How kind of you, Missy. Anybody else have a... Both of your sons you want prayed for. We will do that. Well, let's bow our heads for prayer. In the interest of time, I will pray the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being here among us. Thank you for fulfilling your promise, because we're gathered in Jesus' name that you are here among us. And Father, I want to pray for the two special days that Missy has brought up, that they will be a wonderful experience, that your presence will fill them both, Father. And Father, I want to pray for Margaret's sons. I ask that you would bless them in every way that they need. And Father, for all of us, we ask for salvation in your kingdom. And now, Father, as we open your word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us through your word, to touch us and to show us something about you and show us something about what you want to do in our lives and to do it. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I need to get you a microphone so that people can participate in this together with us. Now, what I like to do when it's time for this time in the gathering, you'll notice at the top of your paper the words that start with the letters S-O-A-P. They're in bold. And they stand for Scripture, Observations and Questions, Application, and Prayer. If you're afraid to lead a small group, don't be. It's that easy. And so Scripture, we just go through the Scripture together. You can do this in your private devotions as well. Some people actually rewrite it in their own words. So we are going to go around reading one verse at a time, rapidly until... Oh, you all have your own mics. Perfect. Rapidly until we're done. So that'll be easy. You guys will each read one verse. Can you do that for us? Thank you very much. Bosco, would you start with verse 1?
I read them first of all that request, prayer, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone.
For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness.
This is good and pleases God our Savior.
Who wants all men to be saved to come to knowledge of truth.
All right. Now what we do, after having read it, we spend a little bit of time, and we're going to actually shorten this time for purposes of this morning, but we spend a little time so that each person can read the passage for themselves and reflect. This is called the Observations and Questions time. And that's why it's on a piece of paper that you can write on, because during the observations and questions time, you read it, and if you have a thought that stands out to you, you might circle it, you might underline it, you might write a note to yourself about what you noticed, a question that is raised in your mind about what you've just read. And then, after a little bit, we talk together about the observations that we've had, and the questions that we've had. So I'm going to give our group here a minute to look through this and to see what thoughts and questions come to mind. Now we're going to share a little bit. And if you want to share with someone nearby, that's actually fine while we're doing this up here, or if you just want to witness it. But be thinking about these things yourself as you have been exposed to the Word of God here. So I'm going to ask this group, are there any questions or thoughts that stood out to you as you read this?
Verse 4 does to me.
What's that?
Verse 4.
Verse 4?
Yes, because that's partially why I ask you to pray for my sons. One has returned to the Lord, and the other one is on his way. And I want them to know the knowledge of the truth as they were brought up.
So that stood out to you, this statement that God wants all to be saved. That is powerful for all of us carry people in our hearts that we want to be saved in his kingdom, and to know that he wants that, that's amazing. Something stood out there? Well, go ahead. It doesn't matter. Okay. She has something, but she doesn't want to share it. It's okay. If you change your mind, by the way, in your small group, please don't compel people. Keep an atmosphere of freedom. If someone's ready to talk about something, let them talk. If they're not, don't make anybody talk. You want this to be a family, enjoyable, engaging experience. Anybody else notice anything in here that stood out to you? Still working on it? You ready? Well, give it a try. There's no harm.
It's kind of a stupid thing, though. It says, "Who wants all men?" Why in every single thing in the Bible it doesn't say "and women"? It only says "men."
Well, that's completely legitimate. That's not a dumb question.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why doesn't it say "and women"?
Do you have any ideas yourself?
Because it's called mankind, and that's what we're used to.
That is exactly how I understand it. It's
like
generic,
that.
But it shouldn't be like that. Well, we know your heart, and we know it means everybody.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you. Yeah, no, always say every question is legit. Do you agree? Was that an improper question? Thank you. Thank you very much. See, we're growing young. All right, anybody else? All right, well, I'm not going to compel, but I'll tell you some of the things that I noticed. I noticed that it says pray in like four different ways. Did you notice that? It says the word prayer, but requests. That's prayers, right? The Greek there actually means begging. It actually means begging. Intercession, that's praying, right? And thanksgiving, that's a kind of prayer too. And he says that this kind of praying makes a difference. Did you notice what kind of difference this kind of praying makes for our lives? It makes a difference not just in our lives, it sounds like, to me, it makes a difference in the world when we pray. And particularly, is there anyone that we should leave out of our prayers?
No.
Because it says thanksgiving and all this should be made for who?
Everyone.
Everyone, right? Do you agree with that, Allie? See, right there. Everyone. It says it right there. And then it specifically lists people who have the power to make our lives better or worse, right? Kings and all those in authority, it literally actually says over us, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So, man, thing I'm realizing, and now we're getting to application. So we go scripture, observations, questions, application. Now we talk about, based on what we've seen in God's word, what does he want us to do? What does he want to do in our lives? Did you guys notice anything that he wants to do in our lives out of here? What kind of lives does he want us to have? I'm expanding in theater. We call it the fourth wall. What kind of things does God want to do in our lives that you see here in the scripture? He wants us to have good lives.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to have peaceful lives, doesn't he? That's what it says. And to get that, in the United States of America, here's what's going on in my mind. What can we do to help our leaders give us peaceful and quiet lives? And there's one other thing that's not mentioned in here, which we talk a lot about. Right? And it's on the news all the time. It's your vote, right? So we normally we talk about if we want our country to be the way it should be so that we can lead peaceful and quiet lives, we should vote. Right, Dr. Nakanishi?
Right.
Some of you have voted for him. We should vote. But is that the most powerful thing that we can do?
They need to be truthful.
Oh, the politicians?
Mm-hmm.
So let's vote for truthful ones. And what else can we do? What is he saying?
Pray for them.
Pray for them. Pray for them. Not at them. Pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them. Last Sunday, there was a remarkable experience that happened in Washington, D.C. It was at the McLean, I think it's Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. Now, the pastor of the McLean Baptist Church, and I don't remember his name, but he was not known to be a fan of our president. He preached and taught a lot about things that that might be seen as social justice issues, and people would not have definitely guessed at him being a supporter of our president here. Guess who showed up at his church last Sunday? President Trump showed up at his church last Sunday. And so it had been a day, actually, that was declared by many Christians to be a day to pray for our leaders. Franklin Graham was calling churches all over last Sunday to be praying for the president in particular. And President Trump shows up at the McLean Baptist Church. And this pastor, who doesn't come across as a fan of his, has to decide what to do. So guess what he did? He followed the Word of God. He invited the president up, and guess what they did? They prayed for him. And if you watch the video of that, it was a very gracious encounter on all sides. The president was gracious, the pastor was gracious, and they prayed. He prayed for the president. Did that make any difference? I believe every time we pray, it makes a difference. No matter what you think of the politicians, no matter what you think of the leaders, whether it's even in the church, pray for them. Let's pray for them. And I'm moved as I think about that. And the other thing that hits me is what hit you, Margaret, that God wants everyone saved. And so everyone in my life, he wants me to pray for them. He wants me to pray for them.
Not just once,
to keep it up. So, scripture, observations and questions, application, and then prayer. And what we do, now, this is as close as I'm going to come to actually kind of putting you on the spot. I want you to think about what God has asked you to do through his word. Just one thing, not a whole list. Just think of one thing that God spoke to your heart that he wants you to do based on what we've understood from his word. And we're going to go around the circle, and just in a very short sentence, it can usually happen in like 5 words, we're each going to pray and ask God to do in our lives what he said he wants to do. So, are you okay with that, Allie? I'm not going to force you. No. Allie has gotten very quiet. So if you don't want to pray, just flick your finger and Missy will pick up next, okay? Because I'm going to pray first and Bosco's going to pray last. So I'm going to pray a prayer and then we'll go around the circle and whoever feels comfortable praying will pray. Father, thank you for your word. Please, I ask that you would develop my prayer life beyond what it is. And help me to remember specifically to pray for our leaders.
I pray that you help me grow better in my Christian life with you.
Amen.
Dear Jesus, please make it so that not even when I grow up, but for now, that I will be able to make a change in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, first of all, for the prayers that you've already answered for me, and that you will continue to answer and bring those that need you back to you.
Amen.
My prayer is for myself, to Jesus, the Savior. Dear Jesus, please help me to be better man than I am. Please help me to introduce myself to every person who live in this village called Golden Oaks Village. Many of them I don't know personally. I'll knock on every door. Please be with me when I knock a door, to introduce myself and to ask them if they need any help and to tell them what I need as help. Thank you for that help. Amen.
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 Thank you all. Can you say a thank you to our group? Thank you. Oh, absolutely. Thank you. You can go to your seats, and I want to show you one more thing. If you read on in the chapter, oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I had a crisis of not wanting to give her my bug earlier, and I didn't even notice this time. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to notice one more thing. Because Paul goes on in his counsel to Timothy to tell him to make one more recommendation. And it's in verse 8. It says, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Does God want you to have a prayer life? Does he want it to be in one particular time and one particular place? He does not. For whatever reason, God has chosen to unleash his work through prayer. It is my prayer that that will happen at multiple levels beyond even what it is here at English Oaks. It is my prayer that it will happen in your life, everywhere that you live, that you will live a life of prayer, and that when people come around us at English Oaks, that it is an unavoidable truth that we are a family that prays together. That as we sense the call of God, that it calls us to prayer, to begging to Him to give us what we need to do what He's called us to do. Did you notice some uncomfortable, interesting words in that passage? I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, this is a place of freedom in Christ. But I would like, if you are willing, to have not just a practice session of a small group studying verses 1 through 4, but I would like a little bit of a practice session so that whether this becomes your way of life or whether it makes you more open and understanding of people who express themselves that way, we as Seventh-day Adventists have it in our DNA that we are people who follow the Bible, right? Right? So what does this say? What does this Bible verse tell us to do that we don't usually do here? What? Lift up our holy hands. And you know what's funny? I was pointing that out to Pastor Roy this morning, and he said, yeah, but where do you get holy hands? And guess what the last song that Margaret and Dick and the rest of the group sang with us said? Is that holy hands are the hands that go to do what God wants us to do. It answered Pastor Roy's question. We kind of had a little private, way to go, God, moment there. And so look at those two hands of yours. Would you stand with me, please? Trying to be polite here. Would you stand with me? And we are going to pray the words of a song. Father, we love you. If you know this song, it'll come easy. The first verse, I'm not going to change the slides because guess what I'm going to be doing with my hands? I'm going to put the control right down here. And this we are going to sing. We're not going to sing God be with you till we meet again. We're going to sing this together. And the second time you sing it through, it's Jesus. And the third time you sing it through, it's Spirit. Would you do that with me? Okay. Are you okay? This is lifting holy hands to God. I haven't studied completely what this means in scriptures, but I believe, based on what I've read and studied, what it means is you are opening yourself to God, and you are offering yourself to God. Your hands is where you hold things, and your hands is where you get things. So that's what our prayer life, isn't it? It's where we take what we have and give it to God, and we open ourselves to receive what He wants to give us. And over in history, it's been done individually and it's been done as a group. So would you please sing with me? My voice, I'll try and key it up beyond what my voice would naturally want today, but at a comfortable range. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in all the earth. Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please love on one another and have a blessed Sabbath.